And now on the program, we turn to our conversation with Mark Alvarez, a Spanish language radio host, attorney, and immigration expert for Telemundo Utah. We'll look at the current state of immigration reform legislation and the tough path it faces in the U.S. House of Representatives. Mark Alvarez, thanks for joining me in studio today.
Thank you.
The Senate passed a comprehensive immigration reform bill by an overwhelming and, I might add, bipartisan majority. Lawmakers on the House side aren't as maybe enamored is the right word of a comprehensive package, and they had chosen instead to try and take a piecemeal approach to immigration reform. I say had chosen because Congress has returned from its recess, and now the major focus is turning to the conflict in Syria. And there's a lot of people saying that even the piecemeal approach is kind of likely to falter. And I'm wondering, as someone who pays attention to this closely, if you can maybe bring us up to speed on where we are in the immigration reform debate.
I guess, first of all, the proposal in the Senate passed 68-32, with, I think, 14 Republican senators voting in favor, including Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah. So there's more than two-thirds support in the U.S. Senate. A lot indicates that there would be majority support even in the House of Representatives, but because of the Hastert rule, which requires on the Republican side, it's Republican leadership, they want to see a majority of Republicans supporting a proposal before it goes forth in the camera.
I'm wondering.
In the House.
In the camera. Can you describe the what the Hastert rule is and why it's there?
Dennis Hastert was the Speaker of the House, and he started to impose the rule, which required half of the Republican delegation in the House of Representatives to support a measure before it advanced procedurally. And it's an anti-democratic rule, because right now the Republicans have 234 members in the House of Representatives. The Democrats, 201. I did the math this morning, writing an article on this. If half of the Republicans oppose a measure, that stops it procedurally. That is 117 Republicans of the 234 in the House. Doing the arithmetic, that's less than 27% of the House of Representatives. So a small minority can prevent a proposal from going forward if that small minority is organized within the Republican Party. That's the Hastert rule. And that's one of the major obstacles at this point for immigration reform. It seems clear that there is a majority of support, even in the House of Representatives, for broad immigration reform. However, that doesn't rise to the level of the half of the Republican majority in the House, which allows the proposal to go forward.
Well, and it also doesn't address some of the sticking points on what the proposal will look like. I know that, or I've read at least, that about two dozen Republicans in the House are in support of an eventual pathway to citizenship as it stands. And that number may be growing. I'm not certain. But that, you know, that pathway to citizenship is a sticking point for a lot of members of the Republican Party. Is there majority support in the House of Representatives for a pathway to citizenship?
Well, just using your number, two dozen Republicans, there are 195 Democrats that are publicly in support of immigration reform with the path to citizenship. That 195 added to 24, we've gotten to, 219. All that would be needed in the House of Representatives are 218 votes in favor of comprehensive immigration reform with the path to citizenship. And so that would actually represent majority.
Except for this rule, the Hastert rule.
Except for the Hastert rule. Because, I mean, I'm thinking of the two dozen, so 24 plus the 195 get us to 219. Also, another thing I've used is that's only 10% of the Republicans in the House of Representatives. 234 in the House of Representatives, all it would take would be 10% of the Republicans in the House to support immigration reform with the path to citizenship. That would ensure passage if the 195 Democrats out of 201 vote for the measure.
I'm wondering.
And so, you mentioned the Hastert rule. Yes. The problem is the Hastert rule keeps that vote from even taking place. Because if 117 Republicans or less than 27% of the House of Representatives oppose a measure, they can stop it from even going forward with votes. And so the Hastert rule is an incredibly anti-democratic rule. I mean, I think even Republicans would recognize this is an anti-democratic in the context of the institution of the House of Representatives rule.
Yeah,
however, I do understand it from the Republican leadership point of view. They do not want to deal with a majority of Republicans in their membership that are opposed to what leadership wants. And so to ensure fluid movement within the Republican Party in the House of Representatives, the leadership has chosen to continue with this rule, having said that they have suspended it at certain times.
And I suppose that rule exists because maybe the Republican Party isn't as unified as it once was.
I think it might even indicate the opposite, that the Republican leadership fears a mutiny of sorts within the Republican Party, and so it keeps going with that Hastert rule. I think if there were actually more unity, then I think at times the Republican Party would actually accept ceding perhaps a little bit of protagonism to the Democratic Party and saying, okay, the Democratic Party has a good idea, there's a good proposal that we should get behind. Even though we don't have half the support within our party, we're going to let it go ahead anyway.
I've read and we hear pretty frequently that as the demographics are changing, that has been helping to advance the debate for the Republican Party. But still, most Republicans oppose an approach that gives a pathway to citizenship, however circuitous and long. Of the 233 Republican districts, only 24 are districts where a quarter or more of the constituents are Hispanic. But again, the demographics are changing. I'm wondering if that's helping to change the debate in the Republican Party, and is it enough for passage of immigration reform this year?
I think the fact that the districts are changing is influencing the debate, because some Republicans who may feel safe in their districts now may look for 10, 15 years in the future and see how the changing demographics are going to change their own districts. So I think that could have an influence. Having said that, there are some who say, well, if the Republicans control 53%, a little more than 53% of the House of Representatives as far as districts go, if that's the case, they can argue, well, we represent this majority. We're not seeing major movement within our districts in favor of immigration reform. I think that's changing, because I think there are a lot of organizations forward with Mark Zuckerberg, Joe Green. Bill Gates has been one of the supporters of that organization. High tech, and they had an event here in Utah County in Lehi just a few weeks ago. They're supportive of immigration reform to change the system for those who might come and work in the high tech industry, which has been one of the strong points of the U.S. economy. That said, they're also very firmly in favor of a legalization program for 11 million people without documents. That's important, because sometimes you look at business interests and they look for their specific changes that allow them to continue, that allow them to grow. In this case, the high tech group Forward is looking beyond their specific interest to the humanitarian need to address the 11 million people who are living here without documents.
Are there others in the business community that are basically aligned with that argument?
I think so. I mean, I don't want to be cynical with respect to business interest either, because I think obviously economic interests are important in the conversation about immigration, and not all people who are looking for economic interest are looking exclusively at those interests. They're also looking at political factors, humanitarian factors. And so I think there are. I speak with some people in the agricultural industry. Agriculture is very concerned about immigration reform, knowing it's critical really for the certainly medium-term health of the agricultural industry in the United States to have immigration reform. I think they're also looking to reward the loyalty of employees or those who might come to work in the industry.
Hmm. I'm wondering if we can get kind of the opposing viewpoint here. What are the detractors, sort of major complaints about immigration reform on the whole, but especially the sticking point pathway to citizenship?
Yeah, and one positive note before I go into that.
Sure.
Over the last 3 or 4 years, and clearly since the November elections of last year, there's been a huge change in the rhetoric on the Republican side. A lot of people who favor some type of legalization but without a path to citizenship, 3 or 4 years ago, a year ago, might have even been talking about self-deportation, which was the Mitt Romney formulation.
That's right.
They certainly would have been opposed to legalization for people who had come here in violation of the laws. So they would be opposed to almost any legalization program. In 2010, we may remember the U.S. Senate, largely because of the Republican Party, blocked the DREAM Act. Now the Republican Party is speaking in favor of the DREAM Act. Now, going back to the point about legalization versus path to citizenship, I favor certainly a path to citizenship. I think it would be wrong for the United States to create a category of permanent resident that didn't have an option for citizenship at some time in the future. People who have become permanent residents have always had that option after 5 years of permanent residence, 3 years that the person's been married to a U.S. citizen. It seems un-American for us to open up this permanent solution to the undocumented without allowing them at some point to have access to citizenship. The pathway already is 13 years, and so it's not an easy pathway. That said, the question for those Republicans would be, okay, how will you deal with the 11 million people who are living here without documents? One of the things I've noticed in some of the Republican rhetoric is a movement away from deportation, a movement away from self-deportation rhetoric. We need to address this situation. Okay, how would you address it? There's not yet a Republican plan on the table that I've seen to address the 11 million people living here without documents. There are bipartisan plans, and to the credit of many Republicans, they've participated in those efforts. Having said that, two prominent ones from the Mountain West who were in groups of eight, they fled from those groups of eight when they got close to actually finalizing a plan for movement in the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House of Representatives. Those two are Senator Mike Lee of Utah and Representative Raul Labrador de Idaho. Both Tea Party adherents, both Spanish speakers, both Mormon. And I wonder, was their involvement in the groups of eight to try to work toward immigration reform, was that for image, or were they really trying to achieve a solution? I'm skeptical.
In the lead up to the passage of some state laws, this is a few years ago, that were seen as discriminatory. I'm thinking of the Arizona law, the so-called Show Me Your Papers law. The immigrant community and its allies really mobilized, and they staged mass demonstrations across the United States, including here in Salt Lake City. I'm wondering if that kind of pressure is being brought to bear in this current debate.
I think it is. I don't think we've seen massive marches. Certainly, we haven't seen massive marches in Utah since 2010. And there have been some big marches in the past, but we haven't seen massive marches. But what we have seen are, in a sense, small marches, presence at events of people, members of Congress, more calling. I think more letter writing, more emailing, more activity on social media. There's still a lot of participation by Latinos on the immigration issue, but it's not huge splash type activity like a big march would be.
It's more focused. I know that the Salt Lake Dream Team and a number of Dreamers organization have been, as a youth movement, very effective at getting engaged with their elected officials.
And I think the Dreamers are a great example. What I think has really changed the conversation on immigration over the last few years are the individual stories of people who are undocumented, mm-hmm. the individual stories of people who are suffering as a result of a broken immigration system. And I guess even going beyond the undocumented, the stories of business people who see their businesses flounder because they can't navigate either incredibly complex or incredibly expensive immigration systems, or there's no real route for them to hire the people that are needed in their businesses. And so I think those individual stories, and as people have started to see the real human impact of continuing with a broken immigration system, that's changed the conversation.
Mark, we're running very low on time, but I want to try and pin you down on whether or not you're optimistic about what's going to happen in the House of Representatives.
I am optimistic. I think because immigration reform is clearly needed medium term. Short term, I think day to day we see a lot of fights over immigration. The piecemeal approach, I saw that initially as a delay. It may still be a delay, even though there's some logic to handling immigration in pieces. The first piece should be, what do we do with the 11 million people living here without documents? I'm optimistic because for economic reasons, our society needs immigration reform. In agriculture, in high tech, in construction, especially if the economy gets going, we're going to need an agile immigration system that matches our economy. Optimistic on humanitarian reasons. I think more and more people are seeing the really harsh human effects of a broken immigration system. I think we as Americans are mostly sensitive to that. Also, the involvement of churches. Very recently, the Catholic Church had masses across the country to try to get people to stand up for immigration reform. Steve Clems is a person from the Zion's Evangelical Lutheran Church. He wrote an op-ed that appeared in the Salt Lake Tribune calling for people of faith to stand for welcome. I really like the Pope Francis's comment a few weeks ago. We need to stop this globalization of indifference with respect to the plight of immigrants. He was speaking about immigrants from Africa traveling to Italy, but that sentiment clearly applies here in the United States. I think also for political reasons, the rhetoric of Republicans has very much changed on immigration. They've gone away from self-deportation. They've gone away from harsh labels used for undocumented immigrants and talked about the need to find some type of solution. Even John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, said inaction is not a solution. That would be unacceptable. Those Republicans also know, with changing demographics across the country, to compete in national elections, they have to change the tune on immigration reform. Frankly, for practical reasons, I think they have to support immigration reform of some sort. They know that, even though in congressional districts and playing politics at local, at statewide, at local levels, Republicans might be able to survive to a certain extent, continue with an anti-immigration policy. At the national level, smart Republicans, reasonable Republicans know they need immigration reform to be able to compete 2016, 2020, and beyond.
But that inaction seems like it might be not inevitable, but something that we'll see during this session of Congress because of the focus turning to other issues, including the conflict in Syria.
I actually think, though, the immigration is an open conflict of some sorts in the political realm. It needs to be addressed. And despite Syria, despite some budgetary issues that are going to face the Congress, people in Congress have been working on immigration for many months, I would say many years, for some, a few decades. Mm. They know immigration reform has to be addressed. I actually don't think it's going to be put off much longer.
Mark Alvarez is an attorney here in Salt Lake and an immigration expert for Telemundo Utah. I want to thank you for coming in and speaking with us today.
Thank you.
You can hear this interview and all of the conversations we feature on the show at our website, kcpw.org. I'm Roger McDonough, and you're listening to The Rundown. We'll be right back. And that's all the time we have for our program today. The Rundown was produced, as always, by Lauren Colucci. We had additional help from Jesse Ellis and Mr. Tyler Ford. Our theme music was composed by Tim Myers. Tomorrow, tune for a conversation with the Utah Health Policy Project's Randall Sear to get an overview of the changes in store with the October 1 launch date of the Affordable Care Act. I'm Roger McDonough. Thanks for joining us today. The Utah Business Report and Marketplace are coming up next.